Yeah, so you got a difficult decision to make. Like, you got really got to think. You make a list of pros, you make a list of cons, you call your mum, you ask a search engine. Like, Professor Google's probably got something to tell you. You know what? All that, waste of time. Just turn the lights down. Makes you smarter. Well, not really, but it clears things up and you think better. This is according to research out of the University of Toronto. I suppose they know their windows are pretty dark over there, so they'd have some experience. I wonder, though, if this is an accurate study. Let's lower the studio lights, shall we, and wrestle with this next big question.
Is it science?
So the lights are down, the candles are on. Dr. Rod Lamberts is very, very thinky as a result. He's from the Australian National Centre for Public Awareness of Science at the ANU in Canberra. Rod, how's the lighting? You happy?
It's good and dim here. I'm feeling very involved.
Good. Okay. And it makes you sharper and smarter, I understand. Is this actually true?
Go headlines. How good are headlines? That's about the only thing they didn't really focus on strongly in this study. But it is a cool study. This is a classic case of headlines taking one tiny little bit out of a study that was kind of implied, but not actually directly tested in the same way. But the study was good. The study was very interesting. Like, they were looking at, you know, this phenomenon where people in bright lights, you assume bright, shiny lights, bright, shiny day, everyone feels happier.
Yep.
But then you get the situation where people who are depressed seem to feel worse in situations like this.
Oh.
And in fact, apparently, suicides go up during late autumn and early summer months.
That's
and so forth.
That's not so true, surely.
I heard a rumour. They say it is true.
Really?
And it's... But so that these people who were doing this study, these guys at Northwestern and Toronto, went, well, this sounds strange. Let's look into it a bit.
Yeah.
And so they did six sub-studies looking at the results or the effects of bright light versus dim light. None of them looked at intelligence. So, you know, this is definitely misleading.
Yeah.
But what they did look at is like perceptions of warmth and perceptions of positivity and so on. And also extremes of emotion associated with light or bright light, dark or bright light. And what it turns out is bright light seems to make emotions more extreme, be they positive or negative.
Oh,
that's what I think's fun here. Yeah.
Okay, but I was having this conversation with Noel Debien before the show started, actually, and it was like, but doesn't that go the total opposite of the sort of romantic candlelit dinner?
Yeah, actually, it does. It does. And that's what I find. That's why I love this study. I think it's fascinating. I mean,
do you think we should have neon dates?
Maybe, which goes against everything. You know, you go into a change room in any standard clothing store, they've got the bright lights, they show every blemish and every lump of lard that you may have on your body. Mine, not yours, obviously. So I'm thinking, I don't look at my most attractive in bright lights. But according to elements of this study, I may apparently perceived to be so, but it also changes the way you experience food flavors, your preferences for positive and negative words, whether you perceive someone to be more aggressive or not. All these things are affected by brighter or darker environs.
So the light just takes lower light just takes the edge off everything. Is that perhaps a better way of
saying it? It seems to, yeah, yeah. It kind of calms things down. I mean, there's a great quote in there that talks about how warmer regions tend to have more emotionally expressive residents. I love that call. And they're saying brightness is associated at some kind of deep biological level with notions of warmth. And so there's some link going on there as well. So it's this brighter lights equals more intense emotion is what they're really saying, and that's partially because of an association with warmth.
And then maybe the more intense emotion clouds your thought processes.
Well, and that's the suggestion. And so that's what seems to be what's happened in the media, obviously not the ABC, the other media.
No, taken of course
this,
not.
This headline.
No, even though that's exactly how I forward promoted it, of course. I would never say that.
You had to do that to make me seem interesting afterwards. Yeah. I could come in and be controversial.
That's right. But you know what? It stands to reason because I can't think of a single smart person to come out of a sunny city. But if it's a bleak city, everyone's smart.
Yeah. The best authors, yeah, the bleakest emotions, all out of darkness and dimness.
Exactly.
So it's look, I got to say though, I'd really like the study. I think they did great stuff. I think it's very interesting. It's done in the Journal of Consumer Psychology, and I have a bit of a passion for consumer psychology because it makes me think I can control the world. So I think this stuff's really fascinating.
Good. Well, your thumb is well and truly up with that one. So good.
My thumb is up. I think this is terrific. My thumb is down for the way it was first promoted by media other than here.
Okay, fair enough. Or even here. It's all right, we won't dwell on it.
No, you're great, you're great. Everything you've done is perfect.
Thank you. Vitamin E and beta-carotene. There's been a study on this. What's it found?
Well, this study was actually, it was a review by the US Preventive Services Task Force. And what they were doing was, people associate cardiovascular disease and cancer with, you know, oxidizing, people getting what they call oxidative stress. This is why people run around looking at antioxidants all the time.
Ah, yeah.
And so beta-carotene and vitamin E are two sort of classics. And so this this mob, the Preventive Services mob, did a review of 24 clinical studies just to kind of see what the state of play is and review some guidelines. And what they discovered really was not really the go. These two multivitamins slash vitamin E or beta-carotene supplements don't really seem to do much. Except, what I like here is, except beta-carotene, if you have some kind of lung disorder, lung cancer, or exposure to asbestos, is likely to make things worse.
Oh.
So that's good to know.
It's good to know. It's kind of not the intended effect.
Comforting, isn't it?
Yeah, really comforting. So basically...
So what they're saying... Sorry, carry on.
No, just be a bit sceptical around vitamins, really.
Well, yeah, be careful. They're saying, look, it really comes back. The same messages apply, you know, healthy diet, rich in vegetables, fruits, whole grains, low fats, all that good stuff, unless you have particular dietary concerns, and then maybe you think about taking supplements with advice. That's the bottom line with this.
I wonder how many times I have heard that. I mean, it seems like we have to go through all these studies in order to unearth the bleeding obvious.
It really is. Special subject, the bleeding obvious, in the words of Basil Fawlty, just eat well and maybe exercise a bit.
Yep. Pretty much. Can we just draw a line under that and never talk about this sort of stuff again? Like, as a society? No, I don't mean the segment, but I just... Anyway.
For society. I'm sure I'm in a position to do that.
Fair enough. Good. Let's talk about ants instead, because I've often wondered what happens to ants in a flood, and apparently they're good survivors. Yeah.
Well, these Swiss ants are. There was a study done by the University of Lausanne. My Swiss accent is as good as my Australian accent.
Yes.
There are these ants that live in floodplains, and apparently when pressed, and only when pressed, they'll form these living rafts to protect themselves as the waters arise, which in itself just, to me, sounds awesome.
So they what? How do they do
that? They join themselves together and make, like, rafts.
That's unbelievable. That's not,
yeah, I know. And that's not what's contested here. You know, that's an accepted fact. The question was, you know, people who look at these communities of animals and insects, you know, they're interested in social behaviours and all that sort of stuff. And they wanted to know, you know, is it an act of altruism that the ants on the bottom of the raft are sacrificing themselves?
Yes.
But it turns out no, because part of this study, I love this, they submerged worker ants for 8 hours in water, completely no chance of getting any air. And after 8 hours, 79% recovered.
What?
It took them more than an hour. I know. This in itself is interesting. And it turns out when they build these rafts, they tend to put the pupa, you know, like the eggs and the babies on the bottom, connected to workers, and then they stuff the queen ant right in the middle.
This is unbelievable.
And I know.
Ants are awesome. This is great.
They really are.
And I think we should have superheroes based on ants.
We have Ant-Man.
Oh, I didn't know about Ant-Man. I'll have to go have a look at Ant-Man. Could survive anything. Flood's not going to take care of Ant-Man, that's for sure.
But it takes them a while to recover. That's the trick. So they use the babies or the unborn babies because they don't really have to recover, but the workers need to be able to recover quickly, so they don't tend to touch the bottom. They always put the babies down the bottom.
Well, stands to reason. This has been seriously illuminating, Rod. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Rod Lamberts from the Australian National Centre for Public Awareness of Science at the ANU. News time now, 7 o'clock. Be back in 5.